Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. Well, it's certainly one of the stories that's going to dominate the week in Washington. Opening day of the Senate hearings for Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor, the first nominee of the Barack Obama presidency and the first Hispanic woman nominee. It's going to be a long week of hearings with a foregone conclusion at the end, but we're here with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, John. Good morning.
So this first day, while ceremonial and symbolic to a certain extent, is really going to outline the broad issues in this debate going forward in the week, right?
That's right. Ceremonial to an extent, but you can really watch what's going to happen today as a bellwether of what the rest of the week might look like. Today is set aside just for opening statements from Leahy, the chairman, Sessions, the ranking member, and then senators up and down the line get a chance for opening statements. And unlike most hearings, they will all take advantage of the attention and the cameras to get their faces on television and get their ideas about jurisprudence in the Supreme Court heard. So opening statements from everyone, opening statements from the nominee, but no questions today. That doesn't come until later in the week.
And when we talk about the outlines of the debate from the perspective of various senators on the Judiciary Committee, what are the voices that you're hearing?
Well, I think one of the most interesting things will be to see how Republicans treat Sonia Sotomayor, and especially how they treat her in terms of her jurisprudence and, frankly, her race. She is, as you mentioned, a Hispanic, a Latina. She's the first Hispanic nominated to the court. And while many Republicans will oppose her, they have to oppose her and they want to oppose her, they have to kind of walk a fine line. I want you to listen to this cut from Senator John Cornyn, who's from Texas, from over the weekend. Listen to this one.
Well, of course, it was unheard of to filibuster judges until our friends on the Democratic side filibustered a number of nominees. And unfortunately, a gentleman who might have been the first Hispanic nominee to the United States Supreme Court, Miguel Estrada, who was filibustered seven times and denied an up or down vote. I don't think that will happen to Judge Sotomayor, even though that precedent has now been established. I just don't see it happening in this case.
Now, I don't see it happening in this case that we would ever filibuster her.
Is that
but
a threat?
If we do,
is that a threat?
Well, it may not be a threat, but he's certainly laying the groundwork that if we oppose her, we are not the first ones to oppose a Hispanic nominee. Now, Miguel Estrada was never nominated for the Supreme Court,
right,
but a lot of people thought that he would be. And Democrats did filibuster him and prevented his nomination from ever getting off the floor. And I think just real quickly, what it does is show the fine line that Republicans like Cornyn are walking. They are going to oppose this nominee, but you don't want to go too hard,
right,
or too aggressively at a Hispanic nominee. Cornyn is from Texas, and other Republicans on the committee are from states with a lot of Hispanic voters. They don't want to be seen as trying to beat her up.
Right. I mean, the GOP can't be in a position of embarrassing Hispanics on a national,
exactly,
television stage. Well, the nominee herself actually set the groundwork for one of the issues. The so-called famous wise Latina remark is definitely going to come up, but maybe Democrats will be the first to bring it up.
Yeah, they may be because, look, they have learned a long time ago that when attacks, and everyone has heard the attacks about the wise Latina remark, and it's not the only time she mentioned it. She had mentioned in other speeches that her background as a Hispanic woman, her race, her economic background informs how she rules on the bench. And this is an idea philosophically that Republicans and Democrats just disagree on, and this is not the first time this issue has ever come up. But Democrats have been quick to defend her against these remarks, and you could have heard Chairman Pat Leahy over the weekend give a really, really pretty clear indication of how he's going to handle it. Listen to Chairman Leahy from Vermont.
She has a track record, and she is shown to be a mainstream judge. You don't have to guess what kind of a judge she's going to be. I've asked her about her speeches, and she said, ultimately and completely, the law controls. And as a judge, she's shown over and over again, ultimately and completely, the law controls.
Ultimately and completely. That was a quote from Sotomayor herself when she was meeting with Leahy during all that. We called them Soto ops when she went around and met with 89 senators,
sure,
in a row over the course of a couple of weeks. Ultimately and completely, the law controls. You're going to hear that phrase thrown around in opposition to the wise Latina remark, her saying the law controls my rulings, not my race, not my economic background. And that's going to be a touch point. You know, I should say very quickly, these hearings are about a lot more than the nominee. They're about the parties, how you define yourself as a conservative versus a liberal, how you view jurisprudence. Frankly, they're about raising money. Supreme Court nominations are a big deal for both factions in these parties. So you can see that Y's Latina issue as a really important touchstone, I think, for both sides this
week. The Supreme Court has also ruled on the Ricci versus New Haven case. And, you know, it seemed as though that ruling suggests that Sotomayor's role in that decision won't be as big of a deal on affirmative action as we might have thought before the ruling. We don't have time to actually talk about it, but that's something to look for as we move forward in the hearings. Todd Dzwilek, thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.